Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us. We are having a fantastic time. We are hooting and hollering and carrying on and such. Good things, as always, to talk about today. Lots of football, lots of personalities and the way those have been around. We're going to have a pretty good little, I call it a debate. I'm the only one here. And me and our amazing production staff. All the other guys are out on assignment, but there is a lot of things we're going to get to. We're going to talk some Falcons, especially new things you guys may or may not know at this point, and we'll talk about that a little bit. You know, if you're watching NFL Network right now, there's going to be a pretty good matchup here in about an hour and a half as the Eagles will play the Panthers. We're going to talk about at least one member of one of those teams. I think you guys know which one. Looks like Fletcher Cox is going to play tonight. That's going to be good for the Eagles. But as I said, good things, as always, to talk about. I'm going to make my appeal to one of the local teams. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. And what other thing was there? Was something I feel like we are missing. Oh, we're going to actually talk some soccer a little bit later on. You guys are going to enjoy it. I know I will. But, you know, let's start with Falcons. Let's start with the Falcons now that they are geared up for their matchup versus the Dolphins. 1 p.m. on Sunday, of course. I believe that's a CBS game. This is another one of the non-Fox games. Still sitting at 4-1. They've had 2 weeks to think about what the Bills did to them. What the Bills did was use a great defense to make Matt Ryan beat him, and Matt did not, unfortunately. Or maybe they're 3-1, rather. That makes better sense, 3-1. Thanks for the correction from the other side of the room. Now, obviously being on a bye week, I always like to, halfway joking, mostly serious, say there are ways to win and lose a bye week. The ways you... Well, here's how they won the bye week. No one got arrested. No one further injured themselves or got injured. And the people who were injured were able to get healthy, including, I believe, Julio. Let's see. We're going to try not to. Okay, here we go. The four players who were not at practice on Wednesday was Mohamed Sanu because of his hamstring. Justin Hardy is a little under the weather. Courtney Upshaw has an ankle-knee problem. And Matt Bryant has a back problem. Ryan Schrader and Ricardo Allen were back on the field after being in the concussion protocol, so they must be good. Vic Beasley was able to practice in a limited capacity. Julio Jones was also limited with his hip flexor. They're going to kind of take Beasley as a day-to-day type thing to see what's going to happen there. Honestly, I don't think they're going to need him this week. And, you know, the big thing, Matt Bryant with his back injury, Atlanta signed Mike Meyer, not Mike Myers, although right here in town for Halloween, Mike Myers would be kind of interesting. But Mike Meyer he was either signed to the practice squad and then signed to the regular squad. He may still be on the practice squad, actually. But he is the backup option. He was with the team during the preseason. He was 3-for-4 on field goal attempts. You know, they're taking on the 2-2 Dolphins. The Dolphins have a pretty good offense. I mean, a pretty good defense. And they have Jay Cutler as their quarterback. This is a game that, you know, I like Cutler. But in this case, I really wish that Beasley was playing, because I feel like he would introduce himself to Matt Bryant quite a few times. Almost forgot while we're thinking about it. If you are listening to us right now, whether you're in the podcast version or the live version, we thank you. And if you will, go to the iTunes store, look for our show, Impact Media, Sports Club, any of that, we'll bring it up. Give us a rating and review, or you can follow us at Team Impact Media on Twitter. Make sure to leave us some messages, send us some tweets out, promote the show, help us out, and we will start giving out some swag here in the coming weeks, I believe. But back to what I was saying, talking about the Falcons. They do have the matchup with the Dolphins, as I'm saying. The Dolphins, who they have a good offense. You know, I talked about that. They have a good offense. They have a better defense. Their defense is what could keep them in the game, but I don't think the Falcons are going to have much of an issue with that. But Jay Cutler is already in his mode where you question whether he wants to be there or not. You know, it could really turn out in their favor. Maybe Tack gets all over him. Be pretty good. But they come in as 2-2, the Dolphins do. They are probably looking at a top 10 pick, honestly, which could definitely help them out. I'm not, you know, even if Jay plays, I'm not that concerned with really anybody on their offensive side of the ball. And as far as the matchup for the Falcons into any of their squads, I mean, even the special teams battle, I have no problem with Mike Meyer kicking field goals. He's not going to have many field goals to have to worry about, just a couple extra points. But Matt Ryan has got to show us, I mean, to us, to people who see him play all the time, we see this a lot. But to the national media, Atlanta always gets beat up, doesn't get the benefit of the doubt a lot of times, you know. Those kinds of things are what they are. But Matt has got to take control. He's got to scramble when he needs to pick up. You know, he's got to play an Aaron Rodgers-style game. Matt can make a lot of throws. He can't be Julio-centric if Julio does play. He can't be Sanu-centric. He's got to be able to spread the ball around. Got to make sure that Coleman and Freeman get their carries out of the back. Looks like both of them are going to play as well. You got Austin Hooper, who is a tall kid with good hands in the middle. You got Levine Toilolo, who is good for a handful of catches a week. He's always good for those, and he's a great blocker. You know, you just – this game, I'm not going to say is a cakewalk, but it should be. You just can't take it for granted. You had 2 weeks to get ready for a team that could take a month and not be ready for you. So – you know, as far as predictions on the game, yeah, I don't really see that this is going to be anything more than us getting to see the Falcons possibly put some crooked letters up on the board. Still in on this, depending on what happens tonight. You know, if the Panthers win, they go up by like a half game. That's fine. When it comes to the head-to-head series, the Panthers don't have anything. I don't think they'll be able to match up well with this team, so I'm not worried about them at all. Now, Miami does have a big run defense. We have two of the best running backs in the league, so why would we be concerned with that? The Falcons did sign a defensive end to the practice squad. I think this is Vic Beasley backup as well. Jonathan Woodard is on the practice squad now, and they placed tight end Joshua Perkins on the practice squad injured list. Woodard is a seventh-round pick of the Jaguars from last year. He tore his Achilles during team workouts his rookie season. recovered and actually saw some action during the preseason, and then they waived him before the year. You know, as good as their defense is, this kid could probably play too. Let's see, what else can we catch you up with on Falcons? Just preview the game. Yeah, no joke. I have them winning by, they should win by 10 points or more. But we also saw that when they go against pretty good defenses, sometimes they leave points out there and make it a lot closer than it should. What else can we say? Let's see here. Yeah, there was a rumor and a fan was able to ask one of the reporters for the Falcons, Matthew Tabeek, asking about adding Darrell Revis. He could be a good depth guy down the road, but, you know, he's not going to start on this team. He's very banged up and beat up because he plays a physical style. So as far as us just up and signing Darrell Revis, I wouldn't look for it. Definitely wouldn't look for it. Now, as far, let's see. Told you guys about all that. There we go. Yeah, as of right now, Carolina does have a half-game lead because they have not had a bye week yet. They have a half-game lead at 4-1 in the division. They have scored one more point overall than Atlanta. They've also given up 5 more points. You have Atlanta at 3-1. You have New Orleans and Tampa Bay both at 2-2. And actually, New Orleans has scored a lot more points and actually given up less points, which is never a bad thing. Now, here's an interesting stat. Carolina is 1-1 at home, 3-0 on the road. Atlanta, 1-1 at home, 2-0 on the road. So much about home field advantage, huh? And in fact, Tampa Bay is the only team in the division currently who has a winning record at 2-1 at home, and they're 0-1 on the road. That's pretty cool that they've been able to play 3 home games already. Must be nice. And New Orleans actually has the only division win when they beat Carolina. So it's always tight this time of year. You're going to see a couple teams separate themselves. Atlanta should be able to rise up and over Carolina in the next couple of weeks. And then Carolina may be the one to kind of dangle themselves and be within distance, but I don't think they're anything to really worry about. And there it is. Last story about the Atlanta Falcons. Thanks to Kelsey Conway from AtlantaFalcons.com. Just the other day, the Falcons have signed defensive lineman Tanela Tuopu to the active roster on Tuesday. That was as of Tuesday. They had a few injuries over the past few weeks. Jack Crawford is on IR now with a bicep injury. Vic Beasley with his hamstring, Courtney Upshaw with his ankle and knee. You know, it gives them depth. It did fill out the roster. Tanela played with the Seahawks as a college free agent after the 16 draft, University of Washington. He's actually been on our practice squad, but we're signing him to the 53 to help make some depth. And remember, this week's game is a CBS game. I'm not sure what Fox is showing, but CBS will be showing the Falcons and the Dolphins. And let's see, that game is at home. So if you don't have tickets, make sure to go to any of our many restaurants and locals taverns and establishments, or you know, do as we do. We watch many of the games from many of the games we don't go to. We'll watch right here at the studio. So make sure to check those out. It's a good thing we had the bye week, in my opinion. Now we have what should be a little bit easier game for the most part against the Dolphins. Don't take it for granted still, because it is next Sunday night, I believe. We get the Patriots and Foxborough, so, and that starts a 3-game road series. We're going to have to be on our game. Definitely going to have to be on our game. Now, while we're talking about the Falcons, let's go ahead and stay in the NFL for a little while. You know, Cam Newton, we've talked about Cam Newton, talked about his press conference and his maturity and things that happened last week. Nothing new, but there were some new developments. He actually lost one of his major national sponsors, which was the yogurt, Danos yogurt, I believe, or Dan and yogurt, or anyway, he lost his national sponsor. Dak Prescott actually picked it up, so congratulations, Dak, on that. He did issue a public apology, and he actually showed up before last week's game with a Rosie the Riveter pin. Now, for people who don't know about Rosie the Riveter, she helps stand for women's equality and some other things for World War II. The basic premise behind it, from my understanding, and if I'm wrong, you guys can call in and correct me or tweet or whatever you need to do. From my understanding, Rosie the Riveter was to encourage women who were usually housewives or other things, that while the men are at war, the women could pick up the workforce and still keep everything running and still do everything here. And it's, you know, it's helped to where a lot of households nowadays are balanced. It's the way mine is. And I have no problem with it. Equal opportunity across the board, but it needs to be equal. And as far as that, I think the pin was a snarky shot. I think he did apology where he basically said, if I offended you, here's my apology. Yeah, to my knowledge, the reporter privately singled him out with an apology, but he never apologized to her, and he's not going to. If you listen to the press conference where he said the apology, the main things that really stick out, and I'm not the first to say this, and I won't be the last, the main things that stick out here is the order that he says them in. He talks about his amazing, beautiful daughters, which they are. He seems like he has great kids, no problem there. And then he talks about that because of his actions, he lost some sponsors' support, the support from some of his sponsors, which he did. And then he said, many fans, lost many fans as well. Yeah, think about that order. Think about it. Just like if I ask you your favorite type of ice cream, no matter how long you think on it, because, you know, somebody just asked me this the other day, and so it reminded me of. So I said, hey, what's your favorite type of ice cream? I said, it's mint chocolate chip. And then I like some other things. But this is exactly what he did. He gave you the first answer off the top of his head, which is the one he really believes in. It's the most important to him. He lost sponsors. He lost money in his pocket. He was knocked down a few pegs on the national scale of being the icon that he wants to be. Here's an idea. Be more of an icon on the field, and the off-the-field stuff will pretty much fall into place. That's the way the greats always did it. You know, Derek Jeter's a good example. Really, Andrew Luck, who refused to take any kind of endorsements for the first handful of years. He wanted to establish himself as a football player before getting on some of these commercials. I mean, now, unfortunately, it's the commercials the only time we get to see him. Whole different story. No, it's Cam once again showing his immaturity. It's Cam once again trying to tell everybody it's all about him. Cam trying to say, oh, feel bad for me, I'm really the victim of this. No, you're not. You're not the victim. It's ridiculous that we have to come on here and talk about things like the antics of Odell Beckham Jr. and the exploits and offhanded comments of Cam Newton when there's so many other things to talk about. So many other things. But, you know, going to pretty much can the Cam thing here for now. We might pick it up later. Depends on what he does tonight and depends on obviously what he does in the next week or so, because him having a game tonight, that'll give him 3 or 4 more chances in press conferences this weekend to potentially add more fuel to the fire. You know, I mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. As much as I'm not that big of a fan of his, to me, he's a decently good receiver with a few highlight reel catches per game. Pretty much what he does. He catches, you know, he'll make a highlight reel catch and then he'll drop 4 passes, and people seem to forget the 4 passes he dropped. They only remember the highlight reel catch. So, you know, that is what it is. But no, I bring him up because he actually had a pretty bad injury the other day where he broke his it was either a fibula or an ankle. It depends on the report. It seemed like it went back and forth. I'm pretty sure it's an ankle. But he already had surgery the other day. Everything's good. The Giants also lost practically every receiver they have. Brandon Marshall had surgery as well. Let's see if we can find... I mean, to me, the Giants are imploding. They are absolutely imploding from the inside. And this, you know, Odell Beckham doesn't help. The fact that he won't be playing is definitely not going to help, because it's going to be a lot harder to win games. Even being decently good is better than being awful, and he's not awful. As far as receivers, they lost Odell Beckham Jr. He's going to be out for the year. They lost Brandon Marshall, I believe he could be out for the year as well. They lost. They do have Tavares King, who I've actually spoken to before through a different show we used to do. So hopefully, Tavares, they give you the opportunity. Tavares is a good player, real good player. They also lost somewhere we had it, I swear. But they lost Dwayne Harris with an injury. Brandon Marshall, I think Sterling Shepard was the other one that was hurt. They lost wide receiver 1, 2, 3, and 4, 3 of which I believe have already had surgery. I think Dwayne Harris is the one who may can just miss a couple weeks, but still. Ben McAdoo has no control over this locker room. How do I know that? How about this? Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie shows up, leaves the facility, get suspended. Now, it seems like not only did he get suspended, it's suspended indefinitely. People have, nobody wants to talk about it either. Who knows what happened? Maybe he came in, got tired of that ridiculous haircut that McAdoo has, or the fact that he should shave that mustache because, you know, The Sopranos ended, 6 or 7 years ago? The Giants are trying to put this under the rug. That rug's already got so much stuff under it that it's pretty much a mountain in the middle of the room. It's a mountain in the middle of the room. People come in, they sit down, they put their feet up on the coffee table, and they look at the rug in the middle of the room, and it looks like an anthill. Crawling with crazy stuff. So, Your top four receivers are out this week. Your best corner in Rogers Cromartie is suspended indefinitely. You're 0-5. Eli Manning is not having the world's best season. Stop me when you've heard that before. Which is going to lead me to my next big thing. I mean, the Giants are imploding right in front of us. The Giants are not one to fire a manager in the middle of the season, but, I mean, at 0-6 or 0-7, how in the world would you not? What does their remaining schedule look like? Can we get that? Okay, here it is. So, they lost by 16 points to Dallas. Then they lost by 14 points to Detroit. Only lost by 3 to Philadelphia. Only lost by 2 to Tampa Bay. Lost by 5 to the Los Angeles Chargers, who are a big mess as well. They got their first win. This week, they play at Denver. There's a loss, 0-6. Then they play at home. Oh, you'd think at home, maybe they'll be able to do something. Yeah, unfortunately, at home against the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, loss, 0-7. Then there's a bye week. That'd be the perfect time to send McAdoo and his wackadoo haircut out the door. Week 9. For a win. Week 10, they're going to be in San Francisco against the 49ers. I'm going to actually bet the 49ers could win that game. Then they play Kansas City, loss. Washington, loss. Play Dallas again. There's a loss. Philadelphia, best team in the NFC right now, loss. Arizona, even with their problems, Adrian Peterson is going to run all over the Giants. Loss. And then play Washington again. Loss. Stop me when you've heard this before. 0-16 means you get the top spot. Be the greatest time in the world to find a new quarterback. Why do you need a new quarterback? Eli Manning's 38. And remember how we saw Peyton's decline where there was no, you know, slowly wave, hit another wave, hit another tier, you know, like being in an airplane. When you're in the air and you're coming down for a landing in an airplane, they don't just automatically just dive down and stop. No, you come down a little bit, level off, down a little bit, level off, down a little bit. That's usually how most people age and their bodies react to getting older and the physical abuse, especially athletes, take. Not the Manning brothers. Do we remember Peyton? It was like Thelma and Louise. He was straight off the cliff. Everything's going great. Driving the, was that a Cadillac they were in that movie? It was a pretty good movie. All of a sudden, the car's going. You're like, hey, there's a cliff. Hey, there's a, right off the cliff. Happened to Peyton. It was neck-related. Guess what Eli's having problems with? It's not just his arm, it's his neck. Could be something in the family to have neck-related issues, especially from physical abuse, that could make it, you know, make it start deteriorating faster. So the Giants had a whole new receiving core. Their best cover guy is suspended indefinitely for who knows what reason. Their coach seems to be over his skis. Maybe he's a good coordinator. That's about as far as I think he's going to go. And they have a quarterback who is eroding quickly, like faster than a coastline during a hurricane. It's just at high tide even, you know. Unbelievable. And, you know, then here's it. What are they going to do? Speaking of quarterbacks that, you know, this kind of have a little bit of a spirited discussion here. As we saw Peyton start to, his skills start to erode a little bit. His mind's still sharp as ever, but you could see his arm and his neck were limiting his ability to execute the way he wanted to. Well, we thought logically that Brady, who's now 40, and Drew Brees, who is around 37, 38, 39 himself, would be the next two logically accurate ones for this to happen to, right? We saw Brady just a little from like a 98 to a 94. And we saw Drew Brees. He's like from a 96 to a maybe a 91. But it seems like it's actually the generation under them. It's Eli Manning. Big Ben is having issues. I'll get into his in a second. And then you got Carson Palmer. Nothing personal with Carson Palmer. He was good for a while. He finally got a fair shake in Arizona. Got ran out of Cincinnati. Played in Oakland. Carson used to be a really good player. I don't think he's got it anymore. You're just seeing the reaction times are just almost too slow to be a successful quarterback in this league. And they don't have who's behind him? Drew Stanton? Yeah, you're better off just handing off to your new running back, Adrian Peterson, even though they have other running backs. People forget that. But, yeah, Eli, I think it's time to be looking for his replacement. Like yesterday, you're about 2 years late on looking for one, in my opinion, because you're going to be stuck here in a couple of years, possibly next year. Same thing with Carson Palmer. If you don't have a backup ready to go, if you don't have a new option ready to go, you're definitely screwing yourself there. As far as Big Ben, you know, Big Ben was thinking about retiring. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers organization was able to convince him that they needed him to come back, which they do, because that's another one. You've had all this time to find the next franchise guy, and you haven't. You haven't really tried at all. You took one good shot at it, and it didn't work. I mean, this is a team that at one point had Michael Vick as the backup, and even he said, yeah, I wasn't ready for that. What I think is really bugging Big Ben, I don't think it's his skills are diminished. I think it's similar to what I think about Kim. I don't know that Big Ben really wants to play anymore. He enjoys the game of football. He doesn't enjoy getting beaten up during the game of football. Their line's decent this year. He doesn't enjoy his diva wide receiver constantly yelling at him for not throwing him the ball. Yeah, here's an idea, Antonio Bryant. Maybe that's why he won't do you, because you won't stop talking. You don't win games in the National Football League by talking. Not at all. I really think Ben's thing is between his ears. I really think that he was probably 80% retiring. They convinced him to come back. And, you know, this is now what we're looking at. You know, like I said, it's time for Palmer to move on, or them to move on from Palmer. It's time for them to move on from Eli, even though somebody like Jacksonville would maybe want to consider, say, hey, we'll give you a third-round pick for Eli Manning. And, you know, he could at least get the ball out where they needed to. He actually would have receivers who don't try to get the highlight reel catch and drop it all the time like most of his currently. I still don't get why they won't throw it to Brandon Marshall. Can't now, he's hurt. But Brandon Marshall is a go-to guy on almost every other team he was with. He didn't even have an attitude anymore, which is unreal. Just unreal. So, like I said, time for the Cardinals to move on from Palmer. Time for the Giants to either consider a Band-Aid option behind Eli Manning. If not, try to find your guy now. And if you're the Steelers, if Big Ben doesn't want to play, let him go. Let him go. You're only going to make him miserable. And if he's miserable, he's definitely not going to play right. You know, you're going to get another Jay Cutler-like situation where you can tell he just doesn't really want to be there. He didn't want to be there in Chicago that last year. He seems to be okay in Miami. We'll see how that works. But if Big Ben don't want to be there, don't make him stay. It's just going to make you all worse. Big Ben threw 5 interceptions. Now, Jacksonville's a good team this year. But they didn't really throw the ball. I think Blake Bortles threw 15 passes. 15 passes. In fact, on one particular drive towards the end of the game, Jacksonville ran 12 plays in a drive. All of them were rushes. They put it in Chris Ivory's hand and, of course, Leonard Fournette. They put it in Leonard Fournette's hand and just said, hey, just run till you get tired. Let us know. They can only do this for so long. Fournette's going to end up being the next casualty if they don't. But Big Ben throwing 5 interceptions. In the last 2, he was just trying to make such a play. He was trying to make a play to keep him in the game, and he wasn't getting a lot of help. So he tried to fit it in places he didn't need to, except for the last one. The last one was just he just threw it up in the air just to hope it got somewhere close, and it did. Got right into the hands of the Jacksonville corner there, who made a good play on the ball. But 5 interceptions. He threw more interceptions in one day than Blake Bortles has all year. Blake Bortles has thrown 3. He threw 5 in one day. Just Big Ben looks like somebody who doesn't want to be there. And, you know, like I said, if he doesn't want to be there, let him go. I promise this is not going to all be doom and gloom today. We'll talk Colin Kaepernick update. You know, this all seemed to start and evolve around his initial protest. He is actually going to sit down and do a formal interview. I don't know which outlet or which person is going to be with this, but I heard he is going to actually sit down. He has been staying in shape. He's been working out, and not just like working out with weights. He's been actually going to a local high school where he's at, throwing and moving around and, you know, such like that. Because this time of year, the only way you get onto an NFL team is if you get a Tuesday afternoon tryout, which means the team is going to pay for you to come in and show what you got and go from there. And right now, no team's going to want to do that, not because he's Kaepernick, because it's very limited. They usually only do it like the Falcons are doing it, or the Falcons may have done it for a new kicker or something like that because of Matt Bryant. You know, it's that type of thing. But Kaepernick has also released a statement saying, I can go to a local high school and you can, you know, somewhere near you, and you can just pop by to see what I'm doing if you want. It doesn't have to be the formal tryout in your stadium. I think he wants a job. He wants to play in this league, and I'm sure he would love to sit down with the owner and the head coach of a given franchise. I don't have one in mind. I'm just saying any team that would want to, and he can talk over his views or, you know, intentions and that sort of thing. And I think that any logical owner, and I think all 32 of these guys can be logical. They all have their moment, but they can all be logical. I think they could sit down and they could go, okay, well, if we were to sign you, here would be your position. Maybe you're the backup. Maybe we would give you the chance to compete for a starting job. You know, we'd really rather you not take a knee, or depending on what now that the owners are going to try to get together and make it mandatory, I'm not sure how that's going to go over. Not very well. You know, but for Kaepernick to want to sit down and to make this formal statement like this, I think that's really going to help him. You know, all of us here on the show are big proponents that we think he should get a job. And a lot of people are like, well, if somebody would just sign Kaepernick, this would all go away. No, I think we're kind of past that. It started off as a single thing, and then some other people joined, and now it's a full-blown movement. So it's definitely going to do more, but I wish Colin the best. If anybody does know Colin Kaepernick, we'd love to have him here on the show. I would give him the open platform if he wants to talk for the entire hour of the show. That's fine. If he wants to pre-record something, that's fine as well. I'd love if he wants the platform to be able to talk, I'd open it for you. I'd open it for you, Colin, because you know we think you should at least have the opportunity to make a team here. Moving on, the Houston Texans have found a quarterback in Deshaun Watson, which is good because they used to rely on their defense to win games because their defense would actually score points, and their offense to just not turn the ball over a lot. Well, now the offense can score a lot of points, which is good because the defense took a massive hit the other day. They lost their number one and number three pass rusher / defensive players in J.J. Watt to a patellar plate injury. It's basically how your femur, you know, you have your knee, your femur fits down on top of your knee, and your tibia or whatever. I believe, I don't know, I'm not that good with the doctor stuff, but connects on the bottom. Well, it's the plate that separates your upper leg from your lower leg that they both sit on. He actually hurt that. So he's out for the rest of the year. And my favorite defensive player on their team, Whitney Mercilus, had a chest injury to which he is out for the rest of the year. I believe it ended up being a pectoral or something along those lines. Whatever, he's out. And then I saw where Jadeveon Clowney didn't practice today or yesterday. I think maybe it was yesterday for a injury. So when you have your top three guys, that defense is gonna really suffer unless they might have to make a move or might have to do something to bring in somebody. Leaving it all on Clowney, he can try, but the fact that he had Watt and Merciless that could run in there like that. I mean, Brian Cushing is now out with a suspension. He's got about 7 or 8 weeks left on that. This Houston defense is just in shambles. They still have the great cover guys. They still have pretty good linebackers, but they're missing pretty much everybody that ever rushed the quarterback, and they're going to have to do something about that if they're going to compete, or the Jaguars are pretty much going to walk in that division. Because the Jaguars are better than the Colts, that without Jacoby Brissett would be undefeated in the loss column. Marcus Mariota continuing to be banged up means the Titans aren't playing at full tilt, so they're not really that strong either. They're having issues on their defense, which is something we all knew. And then you look at Houston, who can score a lot of points. They're kind of the Saints in a way. They can score a lot of points, but now the defense is going to have issues. The problem is the Saints found defense. You know, we'll have to see what Bill O'Brien's going to do. He fixed one problem and in process watched his defense just lose part after part. It's like building a house out of Legos, and then, you know, little brother comes through and kicks half of it over. It's got to be a surreal feeling. The Miami offensive coordinator video, that guy has resigned. He was actually one of the highest paid coordinators in the league, but he's got a lot more issues than the fact that he partook in putting a substance up his nose. And I'm going to keep most of this out of it. To me, yeah, sure, as far as that, there's repercussions from that. But if you listen to that video and how he's pleading for the lady escort to a point. I'm not sure their exact relation. They probably went a little further than just hanging out with each other. That's just hearsay. I don't know. But to me, the video was just sad that this was one of the things that he felt most important about in his life, was making this video and this connection back to this girl. So, you know, I hope he gets the help he needs, because that's really what it comes down to. He can worry about the repercussions of putting substances up his nose, ingesting them in different ways, that kind of thing. He can worry about that after the fact. But to me, he's got to get some help here and get everything straightened out. So hopefully he does, and it just adds to the fact that I think Miami's not going to be prepared to face the Falcons this week. Last bit of NFL news I wanted to get into before I make my plea to a local team, before we talk some U.S. and Atlanta soccer, because, you know, sports club, we talk about different things here. Before I get into that, last thing, I kind of said this a couple weeks ago, but it is absolutely true now. The Rams are for real. The Rams are the best team personnel-wise in the West. They might be they're probably top three or four. I'd say they're the top four, top five of the NFC as far as best teams right now. You know, you got Jared Goff, who's completed 61% of his passes for over 1,300 yards. He's averaging a little over 260 as far as yards a game. He's thrown 7 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. I don't have a problem with that, because we're a quarter of the way into the season. So that would mean on this pace, he would finish with 28 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. Yeah. Pro Bowl year there. He's been sacked only 6 times. I don't have a problem with those. Todd Gurley's finally reminding everybody why he had such a big reputation. He ran for 400 yards, which means he's on pace for 1,600. He has 4 total touchdowns. He does have the 5 fumbles, but he was able to recover 3 of them. They still have, you know, their receiving core, man. I really like their receiving core. Robert Woods, a cast off from Buffalo. Cooper Kupp, the rookie. Sammy Watkins, another cast off. Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett. Malcolm Brown, all these guys, you know. Farrell Cooper caught a pass, caught a handful of passes. Tavon Austin, they still have Tavon Austin. Except for now that you have a coach that understands what he is a utility knife. He's a utility knife that is a slot receiver. He's a great slot receiver. Who can cover him? What guy is going to be able to cover him there? Nobody. The fact you can get Todd Gurley in the receiving to catch some in the receiving game. And then you get into this defense. Mark Barron, Alec Ogletree. Ogletree already has 2 sacks. Mark Barron has 41 tackles, 37 by himself. That's as much as some teams probably. Michael Brockers has a sack. Connor Barwin's got in on it. Aaron Donald. Matt Longacre. Robert Quinn. Ethan Westbrook. Morgan Fox, Tyrone Walker. They have 15 total sacks as a team. They have 318 total tackles. In fact, they have a couple pick sixes. I mean, this defense is just outstanding. They got Greg the Leg. They got one of the best punters in the game, and Johnny Hecker. I mean, they have almost pretty much the total package. They may be one B-minus player here or there in a certain position from actually going to a Super Bowl and potentially winning one. But, I mean, you got to say, as far as teams that are probably better than them in the NFC, the Eagles – are better than them. I'd say the Packers are better than them, but only because of Aaron Rodgers. I would give the nod to the Falcons. I would say Dallas is better than them, probably, just because Dallas has had a little more sustained success. So what? That makes the Rams number 5, and they're probably going to win their division. There's a chance they could have a home game to start with, and if they do, look out. This team is dangerous. But as we finish up the NFL stuff there, where do we want to go from here? Remember, you can give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Just look up Impact Media or Sports Club. We definitely appreciate that. You can follow along with us throughout the week and during the shows and everything at Team Impact Media on Twitter. We do read all the messages you guys send, and we definitely appreciate them. Let's talk about U.S. soccer. I think for the most part, as a country, we just thought it was a given that if we competed in a sport, especially on a world stage, that we would automatically be in the top. That's not been the case. No, we blew the game the other night. You know, had a chance. All we had to do against Trinidad and Tobago was get a win or a tie, qualified for the World Cup. Well, Trinidad and Tobago, who had nothing to play for at the time, beat us 2-1, ending our chances, which means for the next 5 years, World Cup will not really include the United States. Now, is it because we have inferior talent? No, we have very talented guys. Trying to put together the right squad has been an issue, and I think the leadership we've had in top has been anything but great. But we've made some of those changes. You can't blame the new coach. He just got here. He took over in Jurgen Klinsmann, and it's not all his fault either, but when he was let go unceremoniously. We got to be able – our problem to me is we have this great youth movement. We have all these – I mean, sometimes 12, 13, 14-year-old kids that are just phenomenal at the game of soccer. And yet, because we rely on the MLS to be the breeding ground for these guys, we're like, oh, well, yeah, if you're American and you're from here or you're from another country, you should come play in the MLS. It's the best league. It is a good league. It's a very good league. But it's not the English Premier League. It's not La Liga. you know, as far as worldwide net, all our best players, all our best American players, a lot of them go to Europe to play. And I don't think it's the money. I think the money's slightly comparable. But, you know, we got to quit relying on the MLS to be the training ground, the AAA, so to say, for our world games. We got to, you know, I think one of the best kids in the country, he's like from Washington or something like that. He's like 15, 16, something like that. I don't know his name. But I think he's going over to Europe or Asia or somewhere to play because, you know, the Seattle Sounders can't find a place for him on a roster. I don't understand why the MLS can't go, yeah, he's a free agent, or we're gonna roll a coin, we're gonna flip a coin, we're gonna roll a dice, we're gonna pick up a lotto ball or something to see which team gets him. I mean, especially a local team. If his local team is the Sounders, I mean, what does it matter? Let him get some. It's not, you know, in football it would be snaps. In soccer, let him get some playing time. Encourage him to stay here to play. But it just, to me, I think we just all took it for granted. A lot of us took it for granted. I'm trying to get into it. I'm not as big into it as a lot of people. I'm trying to get into it because I realize how important this sport is. You know, Atlanta United, which I'll get into in a second, has done a fantastic job of really piquing my interest. And the show they put on game day, especially when I went, hey, you guys got me hooked. It's so much fun. But we just can't rely on other things to fix our problems. We have to fix them ourselves. We need to, you know, we do have these youth training facilities and such like that that feed into other levels, that feed into other levels that may be the MLS eventually. We got to hit them younger than that. Maybe 5 and 6 and 7 years old, have those kids in that, you know, even if that, it could be a friendly league, but at any level, you can see the kids that are slightly better or sometimes even steps better than other kids around them. And you kind of pull them aside and go, here's this opportunity. Would you be interested? We just got to do a better job of building a better team. And it's not the talent level. It's the fact of having them in the right place at the right time. There's a famous book. I think Lee Iacocca wrote it. I think some. I can't remember, but it's called Good to Great. And the main thing he talks about in Good to Great, it's about business, but it doesn't have to be. It could be about any group, any organization. The main thing he talks about is that you lead and you want it to be a successful organization. The first step is to get the right people on the bus. Right people on the bus to success. The second part, there's a second part. It's not just getting them on the bus. It's getting those people in the right seats on the bus. Make sure that your top finance guy is leading finance. Your top mailroom person is leading the mailroom. Your top salesmen are in the field selling your product or service or selling, you know, in this case, your top scorers are getting the opportunities to score. Your top goaltenders are getting the reps in practice and getting the time on the field to actually hone their skills and work on things that they need to. And instead, just everybody's showing up and everybody's swapping seats back and forth, and there's no real order to it. I think we've got a couple people in the right spots. We don't have them in the exact spots they need to be, and that's something we're going to have to do. The good news in all this is we now have about 3 years to figure that out. Then we can play a lot of other friendlies, and there'll be a lot of probably Copa Cups and all kinds of other stuff. But as far as the World Cup, we're now spectators. You know, I don't know who some of the other teams. If I can find it, because the World Cup's going to be 2018 in Russia. Let's see. As far as teams that are in so far, we may have to pick a new team as far as. I mean, I'll go with England. England's always been my team anyway, but we may have to go for another team here in America and cheer for them through us. You got Russia, you got Brazil. Got Uruguay, Argentina, Colombia, either Peru or New Zealand. I believe they have to play either Honduras or Australia. I believe they have to play Mexico, Costa Rica, Panama, Iran, South Korea, Japan, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, Egypt, Belgium, Germany's always a powerhouse. They'd be good. Spain would be good. Like I said, I already said England, Poland, Iceland, Serbia, Portugal, France, and there's still 7 other spots for grab, 3 in Africa, and 4 will be European. But, I mean, it's beyond ridiculous that we're not in it. And, like I said, we got to get the right people on the bus. I think we're doing a good job of getting decently close to that. And we got to get those people in the right seats. And, you know, sky's the limit as far as doing that. But it's also a tight ceiling. So that's how I think we can fix it. I think it's starting younger and starting and really get the camps and the kids that are serious and the kids with super talent and getting them developed quicker so that at, you know, we can do like other countries and at 15, 16, 17, you make your World Cup debut and, you know, help us out a lot. Problem now is some of our best players are aging. They're over 34, 35 years old. Body's starting to break down and can't play like they used to. But I do want to give a shout out to Atlanta United, who I believe have one game left. I know they are currently in third. They are 3 points behind New York City. They are only 1 point ahead of the Chicago Fire. No, that's not a new show on NBC. That is an actual name of a group. They're pretty good, too. Yeah, October 15th, which will be this weekend at 5 p.m. And it's going to be at Red Bull Arena as we face the New York Red Bulls. We do have one more game. October 22nd. That's next Sunday, not this Sunday. Next Sunday at Mercedes-Benz, we face Toronto FC. Of those two last games, if we can win them both, that would be fantastic. If we can win at least one, I would feel real good about our chances because I do think we hold the tiebreaker over New York City. Not, you know, New York Red Bulls are in sixth. That's who we're playing. The people we need to catch up to is New York City. So throwing that out there, and actually Toronto is the one who is 12 points ahead of us and leading the Eastern Conference. Good thing is it looks like we are pretty much locked in for playoffs, and there's a chance we could actually host the game, which would be very nice. But shout out to them for not only making the playoffs, but being fantastic. And like I said, your game day experience is unparalleled. Never seen anything like it, and I was highly impressed. Next time I will get there a little bit earlier and really check some stuff out. And even you fans, fantastic. Appreciate you guys doing all that you do. In the last couple minutes here, I just want to throw this out here. My plea to a local team. And here's where it's going to start. The local team I'm making a plea to, and I hope they actually listen on this. I will try to do my best here. Tag them. So tonight's social media shout out is Atlanta Hawks. And the reason why they're our social media shout out is because here is my plea. I talk all the time about I'm not a big basketball fan. I'm trying to get back into it because I used to love it so much as a kid. I used to play at least an hour a day in the driveway. Doesn't mean I was any good. I'm pretty good. I was pretty good two guard on the local teams I played on, but you know, I'm not going to set the world on fire with my ability, but recreational, I love to play. It's fun. You know, I've said the Hawks have traded away all these people. And a lot of the players that we would recognize. The biggest player on the team is Dennis Schroeder, who got arrested the other day for, I can't remember what it was for, and I don't want to accuse him of something, but I think he got it worked out, whatever it was. There are some other people that you may recognize on here. Luke Babbitt I had heard of, Kent Bazemore, DeAndre Bembry, Marco Bellinelli, Tyler Cavanaugh, John Collins, Quinn Cook, Dwayne Dedmon, Malcolm Delaney, Ersan Ilyasova, John Maggott. I think I just named most of the team. But here's my appeal to you guys. And I know I've said some things in the past, and I stand behind those things, that this organization has been a disappointment for a while, in that every time we acquire a piece or every time we draft a piece, we start to put some pieces together. Right about the time that we get what I say the 500 line of going from a build into a production, it seems like we cast off a few of those pieces and we start over. And I know you could say the whole Danny Ferry thing is what it is. It's, you know, it's water under the bridge at this point. I've moved past it. Everybody else has moved past it. But all he did was go to Boston and build a winning franchise there. I do like our management. I like some of the young talent we do have. But here is my appeal. Here's my appeal. Even though I will continue to be a fan of Mark Cuban, big fan of Mark Cuban, I like a lot of things that dude does. Fantastic guy. Does a lot for the community. Still a Dirk Nowitzki fan. Dirk Nowitzki, however you want to say it. But I'm not really. I'm announcing myself as a free agent NBA fan, and I'm not going to go through my normal process of trying to pick a team and that kind of thing. No, I'm going to throw it out to you, the Atlanta Hawks, and Atlanta Hawks fans especially, but especially the Hawks organization. And, you know, would love to have some people from the organization come on if they'd like. Same thing as Kaepernick for you know, a handful of minutes or as long as you guys want. Want to hear about some things in the organization. Not necessarily the game plan. We don't need to know the game plan, but no. As a free agent NBA fan, I want to offer. I mean, yeah, take it for what it is. It's not like it's not like it's some special achievement, I guess, to have me in your fan base. It's not some great holy grail, or you don't get a special crown for it, or a trophy, or nothing like that. But no, because I know there's a handful of fans like me too. There's probably a lot out there, but I want to be a Hawks fan. I want to be a Hawks fan like I was before, like when I was in middle school, when basketball was one of my favorite things ever, when I used to play, just like I just mentioned. I want to be a Hawks fan. So I want to see what you guys are going to do. And no, it's not one of those, yeah, I want to wait till you guys are winning. No, I'm ready to sign up today. If you guys call in 347-826-7448, somebody from the Hawks organization, no joke. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, at Team Impact Media, at The Impact 99. If you want to catch me on Facebook, The Impact 99 on Instagram, any of those. You want to find me on LinkedIn. You want to find me on if I'm walking down the streets of Atlanta, if I'm covering a Georgia State game or a Kennesaw game and you guys recognize me, come up, say something. I want to throw it to you guys first before I try to figure out if I should follow any other team. I want to be a Hawks fan. So prove to me that this Hawks team is worth getting behind the same way I did that one in middle school. And I got behind it. It was to this effect. And this is just my story, but I've shared this story with a handful of people, and a lot of times I get similar stories back. When I was in middle school, I followed the Hawks every game. If I didn't listen to it on the radio, I was watching it on the TV. And if I couldn't do either one of those, like if it was a late night game, if you guys played on the West Coast or something like that, I would always keep the radio on, plug headphones in because, I'd have to go to bed, obviously. Can't just stay up all night. When I was in middle school, like again now as an adult, well, that's a good idea or not. But I would audio cassette record off the boombox I had. I would video record. And I video, I'm trying to do it again. Audio record on cassette tapes. I went through so many cassette tapes. I would record the games, the radio broadcasts. And then when I got up in the morning, I would listen to the broadcast before I went to school. I would listen to as much as I can, listen to the rest when I got home that night. I would watch SportsCenter as I was getting ready, and I would wait on the Hawks highlights, which ESPN, that was a whole nother thing, is that could you for once show a few more Atlanta highlights? Trust me, there are good things happening in Atlanta. It's still my city. I always say that. Atlanta will always be my city. Dallas is my town. That's where I was born. It's where I currently live. If I move to another city, hey, that can be it too. if I move to another town. But, you know, Georgia's my state. Atlanta's my city. Dallas is my town. I want to be a Hawks fan. You know, I want to – I'm going to do my best to watch as many of the games on TV as I can. If I can't do that, to maybe try to follow along or listen to the radio broadcast, because we have one of the best radio announcers there is. I mean, he does an incredible job. Steve Holman, just one of the best in the business. You know, I'm going to reach out. I'm going to try to get Steve Holman on. That's a great idea. But like I said, I'm a free agent NBA fan. And I'm leaning towards the Hawks because they are the hometown team. I've been a Hawks. I was a Hawks fan for a long time. I always enjoyed it. I'm going to try to make it down to a handful of games this year. It's been a long time since I've been there. But I want to get back in the Hawks culture. So, Hawks, the ball is in your court. Because finally that saying actually makes sense in this reference. The ball is in your court. Give me a reason. Give me a solid reason why I should be a Hawks fan. And I'll happily walk across, sign anything you need to sign. But I'll be one of your bigger fans. But you just got to give me something. You got to give me something. And, you know, like I said, when I read off here, just looking at the roster, don't know how many of these are going to make the full roster because obviously we only have 12. And we have a handful more that it could be in D leagues and a handful more that will be on the practice squad. But I feel like Malcolm Delaney could be a guy I could get behind. Marco Bellinelli, Kent Bazemore, any of these guys. They seem like a good, solid mix of people. Dennis Schroeder is a good player. Taurean Prince, good player. We should be able to do well. And even if we don't win a bunch of games, it has nothing to do with my fandom. I'm not doing it for the wins. I'm not doing it for the losses. I want to be a Hawks fan. So, Hawks, ball's in your court. Maybe we can get one of you guys on in the next couple of weeks, and we can see it. We can see what you got. But that's going to do it for this week. We got a little dark and got a little serious a few times. We had to talk about those injuries. We had to talk about the antics of some players. We had to talk about those bad injuries. You know, the Rams are for real. And the best part is coming up next on your television, Thursday Night Football, the Panthers, the Eagles. It's going to be a good game. I picked the Eagles in this one, and it has nothing to do with the fact of Cam being on the other side, the other team being the Panthers. It has nothing to do with that. I just feel like the Eagles are the best team in the NFC right now, and they could be by the time it's all said and done. Just big Carson Wentz guy. But we'll see from there. We'll see if any of the guys are back next week from their assignments and everything. And I will keep you guys up to date on if we get Steve Holman or anybody else as our guest. I look forward to it. If you know any of those guys, reach out, let them know. And programming note, I believe tonight around 9 or 9:30, the season debut episode of Board Check. It is now a podcast on our internet media network. Definitely check that out. We'll be talking a lot of Gladiators, talking some NHL news as well. And as always, on Wednesdays now, we have Game Plan, which features Kennesaw State football and Georgia State football in the big mega hour. Always have some fun things going on there. That's all the programming notes. Make sure to go to the iTunes store, give us a rating and review. We will get some swag bags together soon and start sending those out to some random people who are doing that. And we definitely appreciate all the for the King ACL and Reggie Booker, for the coach Haywood Hill, for Superman Cody Elias. I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons. Go Hawks. Girl, wobble it, and I'ma gobble it. I see you moving your head, go ahead, babble it.
We can cradle the bed, I'm straight racking it. The girls say, man, like this, double racket shit. Yeah, I'm so expensive, but I can't help it, my flow ridiculous. Boy, got a gift like it gotta be Christmas. Boy, go miss like it gotta be gifted. The girls broke cameras, and they won't fix it. And they gon' frame us to see that. Let us live the bed while I'm saying my scriptures. Cause I leave you holy like you pray in the temple. One beat, I move with the letter of a pencil. And mine won't miss you, good night kiss you. Take a damn back, cause you got pistols. And now I'm saying Donnie, pick her up, these bitches.
These guys are warriors.